from stpetecatalyst.com.
Welcome once again to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. We're getting close to the end of the year. I don't know why it took so long to have this gentleman in here. My guest today is Chad Mice, the artist, the multimedia artist, muralist, graphic designer, and I'm so proud of this and proud to know you, a tireless advocate and, I guess, cheerleader for the Pinellas County arts community. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Again, we've been doing this podcast almost a year, and I was looking around going, Chad hasn't been in here yet. There's so much to talk with you about. I think what impresses me most is that you're not one of the few, but maybe one of the few people who does art for a living. Mm-hmm. You know, some people have day jobs, you know, but you've managed to turn this into a full. What is that like? I mean, you wake up in the morning, I'm going to go create something today. Was that like a light bulb moment for you? Like, wow, I am an artist now.
Well, it's exciting. So every day I wake up and I'm excited to work and to create. So I'm very creative every day. But this is 20 years in the making. So my background's design. So I was a logo developer and web developer back in the day. And then in the last 10 years, that's when I've started doing mural work. So that's kind of my bread and butter at this point.
Yeah, we're talking commercial work too, right?
Correct.
Is it primarily commercial work?
Because I would say corporate. You know, I'm doing a lot of like, you know, chains and corporate mm-hmm. work now.
That's interesting because your stuff is very, I guess the word is idiosyncratic. This is Chad Mines' stuff, the sort of doodle work that mm-hmm. you do. I couldn't do it, and most artists I knew couldn't do it, but you can. Yeah. Corporate people say, I just like the look of this, or do they say, please paint us some herons and egrets and, you know, doodle around the corner?
It's
what do
more
they do?
About, well, they approach me now for that style. So I have several styles that I work in. I do pattern work, and then I also do that free flow doodle.
Yeah.
So right now I'm kind of getting a lot of approached for that style of work, which is mm-hmm. exciting. And then, you know, as I would say I'm a commercial artist.
Yeah.
So I do work with the client, with the color palettes, the content. But it is my style of work.
What was the first one you said before the doodle? This sort of
like patterns.
The pattern. I couldn't think of the word you just mentioned that because I remember you did that inside of Uptown Eats.
Yep. So it's geometric pattern based work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that can kind of it's very different than the doodle style.
Yeah.
It's more like you know, edgy and clean as opposed to kind of the cartoon vibe.
You got a preference?
I like both. I like to kind of go back and forth with it. Makes it interesting.
You're from New Orleans?
I was born in New Orleans, so I moved to Tampa Bay when I was 5.
Okay.
My family still lives in that area in Louisiana, mm-hmm. but I grew up in Tampa Bay down in Bradenton, Anna Maria Island, and so
Swanky.
I used to come up to St. Pete a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
Went to the Dolly Museum, Janice a lot for concerts mm-hmm. in high school.
So what is that occasion in your mind when you say, you know, it occurs to you that you can actually do this professionally? Like, or were you just one of those kids who drew all the time?
I did.
Yeah.
I was known as the art kid growing up. And for me, it's like I said, it's a lot of work to get to this point in my life. I'm going to be turning 50 next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been self-employed for the last 22 years.
Wow.
But my life has been a struggle. You know, it's been up and down mm-hmm. over those 20 years of working for yourself. You know, putting groceries on the credit card at one point.
Oh, sure.
But now I'm like in a really good state. I've established myself locally.
But when you were a kid, I mean, I'm going to be a firefighter one day. You know, Jen, you can actually make a living at art. You know, do you remember thinking that I don't have to go work in an office or something like
that? Well, you know, I started that way. So
yeah.
I did work corporate before I went self-employed.
Doing what, as a graphic artist, you mean?
Yeah, I was actually a Flash animator. So mm-hmm. I worked for this online textbook company in Boston. And mm-hmm. that kind of trained me in a lot of the computer stuff that I do.
You got to tell me what a Flash animator is.
So it's actually obsolete now since iPhones came out, but it was a form of animation. It's kind of like when you see South Park, you know, how that is very simple animation.
Sure.
So we were doing a lot of like online commercial work For this textbook company, we would illustrate and make it move.
Oh,
and
that's interesting. That's sort of
had bells and whistles.
Like claymation Rudolph or something.
Yeah, it was kind of that vibe. But when I got laid off right before 9/11 up there, and that's when I decided to work for myself. And so I kind of started my own company with my ex-business partner, Philip Clark.
Yeah.
And we had Blue Lucy at the time.
Yeah, Blue Lucy was here in St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm. So we moved from Boston to St. Pete in 2023. Or 2003.
This was a gallery, and did you have a studio there?
We got the space on the 600 block in 2009.
Yeah.
But before that, we were doing a lot of stuff with the Vitale Brothers, doing pop-up art events.
Oh, yeah, man, that 600 block was happening.
That was a moment in time, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, Derek talks about that a lot, too. Yeah.
So it was just cool to see all those gallery spaces on the block at that time. That's where the murals started.
Well, you grew up in Bradenton, and then you're in Boston, but why St. Pete?
I just wanted to come back to Florida, and I was actually – I went down to Sarasota and looked at that area as well, and I just preferred St. Pete over the two.
There are some who say that St. Pete is undergoing like a cultural renaissance. I say, well, it started maybe not even 20 years ago, so it's not really a renaissance. It's not looking back to the 70s and going, boy, this is as artistically rich as it's been since the 70s. There are some people who see it as like the golden light at the end of the day, like eventually this is going to end, you know, because it's getting so developed. How do you feel about all that? The artistic community, where are we? Where is it going?
So I see both sides. I think the advantage of the growth is the fact that there's wealth moving here that can afford to buy art, support the culture here.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, I always say we're just kind of trading art with each other. But the downside is just the expense of living. But I feel like that's everywhere. I don't think it's just here. So just the cost of living, the rents here, a lot of artists can't afford to live here unless they own a home.
Yeah.
They're living with three other people.
Well, see, I mean, that to me is not really conducive to a healthy, thriving artistic community because, you know, the reality is you have to live, too. Correct. It's nice to say, well, we can sell art to tourists, but, you know, the more the outside world creeps in here through development, and it sort of seems like the artistic community may be getting squashed.
Yeah,
this is another thing that Derek and I talk about all the time. You know, it's a hot button topic with him that what's really happening here. But you are an advocate for the arts community. Describe it to me now. It's very healthy now. There are a lot of really great artists here doing wonderful work. Mm-hmm. You work with Shine every year. Tell me what you do with the Mural Festival.
So from the inception of Shine, I was asked to be part of the committee. And in the beginning, I coined it, I was basically a yes man. So I just did whatever they told me to do.
Okay, but that's been, almost 10 years now. So you've been involved with it in some way.
Yeah, for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this past year was year 9, and I kind of took the lead on the community project from the beginning. So I would being the gallery owner locally, I would kind of do a community project each year. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the years, I kind of shifted into more of the curation with Janae.
Yeah.
And so this past couple, I would say 4 years, I've been a part of that, where we select the artist and, I'm more involved in that capacity.
You know what I think is a very... I guess an encouraging sign is buildings, more corporate, entities are saying, let's put murals here. Let's put local murals here.
It's a hot thing, I recently did a Sprouts mural in Tampa on the side of Sprouts. I was hired, and it was just cool to do such a large-scale mural on such a corporate business.
Well, there's the one near Mirror Lake that Shine contracted with to put a mural up there.
Yep.
I mean, I wish the building wasn't going in there, but it is, and that's progress. But it's going to be something locally created.
With the reflection.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Reflection, exactly.
Yeah. So that mural will happen next year during Shine.
Yes. But I think that's encouraging. It's not sort of, we're bringing in muralists from Tokyo and world-renowned somebody. They get local people who are very, very capable doing these things.
I started Blue Lucy in 1994 as a brand, or as a moniker, and then it became a business, and then we opened the gallery. So I think most people would know Blue Lucy as the gallery on the 600 block.
Right.
So we shut down that in 2014. Mm-hmm. So it's almost been 10 years since that.
And then 4 years later came the Mize Gallery. Mm-hmm. The Mize Gallery you opened in 2018 went for 5 years?
Yep, 5 years. So.
Oh, it was early this year that you shut it down.
Yep, so that's it was right. a okay. year ago like now. So I ended it in 2022.
What was it like during the pandemic?
For me, it was like,
I remember that gallery.
I did all those live. So I had scheduled all these gallery shows prior to the pandemic hitting. Mm-hmm. And so I had artists creating specific for these shows. I was doing one a month.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was awesome to have that during the pandemic because it gave me something to do.
You mean to do like the live receptions?
We'll do the live, hang the show, promote it online. I was alone in the gallery a lot. Yeah. So I had the space that I could go to outside of my home that yeah. I just felt real creative and just time. You know, it gave me something to do throughout that.
Can we talk about the philosophy behind what you did at Mice and are currently still doing in other places, which we'll get to. But the philosophy, as you say, was different artists. You sort of give them an idea and say, give me something.
Yeah, it's like a prompt. So it's like being in school again, you know, where you give them a theme. Yeah. A lot of artists don't, you know, certain artists don't want to do that. They don't like to be like told kind of, yeah. these are the parameters, size constraints, all that. But for me, I personally like it. It just gives me a prompt and what to do. And it's very community driven and yeah. I had all types of artists in these shows, from like young 21-year artists next to 70-year-old artists, and then age brackets, ethnicities, sexual identity.
Like yeah, that. I loved all that stuff, and you know it the variety it made the variety kind of pop.
Yeah,
you know, very different things.
And for me, like my galleries have always been, because I work full time as an artist.
Yeah.
My gallery is more about community, so I don't put 100% of my energy into it. I mean, it's a lot of work, but I don't really profit off these shows. You know, my goal with having these spaces is if I could just cover my cost, it gives me something to do.
So you closed it down earlier this year. I know why, but let's tell the folks at home. I always get the impression talking to you that you really gung-ho behind the project and then you just get bored. Do you want to move on? Is that what happened with the Mice Gallery?
I think it's like chapters in life. I feel like a space itself shouldn't define you. And so, like, you know, I had put on like 52 exhibits at Mice Gallery alone. Mm. Those poor walls were, you know, damaged.
A lot of spackling,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And just, you know, just with the space, it was a small space, so you do so much in it, and then eventually you get tired of the actual space itself. Mm. I needed a break, so yeah. I thought I was going to have a long break, and then space came about, and so that was my next project.
Space is unbelievable. How many of these pop-up things have you done out there?
Three. Okay. Three separate. I was doing quarterly events, so right now we're on a pause because I had some fire marshal issues with the building.
Uh-oh.
So we're getting that taken care of, and then next year we'll be planning some stuff out.
Now, space was... it was a bus hangar.
A bus depot.
Okay.
So that's where the tire rotations were done for the PSTA bus system.
Yeah.
Oil changes, that sort of thing.
But PSTA sold it. I mean, they didn't own it anymore.
So right now it's currently under the St. Pete Distillery owns that.
Tell me why you saw that as a venue. I mean, I always thought that was so amazing. This big, weird-looking place. I can hang art here and have a happening here.
Well, for me, it was a dream to have such a large space to work in because my previous galleries were so small.
Yeah.
And I never was able to like really capitalize on other forms of art. I was always just doing 2D art on the walls.
Yeah.
So I could now do sculpture. I could have performance, poetry, like interactive stuff, immersive experiences. So just to have all that space is amazing.
It's very high up, too. I mean, it's not just like a couple of walls. It's
levels,
enormous.
Different rooms.
Levels, yeah. Yeah, I remember visiting you out there when you were kind of working on it. And
well, anybody that comes on the property is just amazed by just the mass of space there.
Yeah, and that's why you called it space, right?
Correct. Because and I really wanted to call it something that was open to anything, you know, it's a space for everyone. And the goal with that property is to eventually have others use it. So it's just not my space. Mm-hmm. It's going to be open to other people.
And you've done three of these so far. Just describe them to us. What have you done out there?
Well, the first one was kind of underground. I wanted to kind of do an old school vibe where we didn't really do a lot of social media post about it. It was all like word of mouth. We actually printed postcards and dispersed them. And we got this huge like attendance for that first one. And it's just no one had seen the space itself until that opening. So that was really exciting. The second one we did, I always do a pride show. So we did a show called Hot Box.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was really successful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then the third one was called Dark. It was like a dark theme show, and it was the Shine finale. So that was the last one in October.
But it's not the same as what you did in Mizgout. In other words, you said you can have sculpture, you can have bigger pieces, different things. So there's not a theme involved, really. Or do you say to the artist, yeah, give me something here? Or they bring existing work in?
Well, there's a theme in terms of, like, how we're promoting it. Like, that first one was more I wanted to pick artists that had been around in St. Pete for a while that I really connected with.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was queer artists, so right. I kind of wanted to have a venue for them.
Right.
And the content of that was about hot-button issues, dealing with LGBTQI+
yes.
stuff.
But this could have been stuff that they had existing already.
It could, but there is a little bit of a prompt. You know, it's like, you don't have to do rainbows. You know, it could be like, express who you are, and it's a space yeah. for you to express yourself.
And I'm sure that a lot of people reacted very positively to doing that. Yes, oh, yeah. I can do that.
And it was needed. You know, we needed that yeah. at that moment. And
yes.
we actually won Best of the Bay for Creative Loafing.
That's great.
Best show of the year of 2023.
Wow, that's great. So. And then the next one was the Dark?
The Dark. So that one was very specific with art. I curated with Michelle Tenue, who's mm-hmm. more in that vein. That's Pale Horse's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of, she took the lead on the curation, and then I just assisted. I was basically the co-curator with that exhibit.
You did a pop-up thing recently in the old Mines building. Mm-hmm. What is it, 689?
689, MLK? Dr. MLK.
Right next to Uptown. Do you still have a lease there? How did
that
work?
So my husband owns Uptown Eats.
Of course, yeah.
So
hi, Dan.
He's taking over the old Mize Gallery space, which is next door.
Going to expand?
That's the plan at this point.
Cool.
But it's taken a while just because we don't have the time and the energy, and also with the city, just to, like, it's a big thing to do that.
Of course.
So I was planning to do something at space for holiday, and then mm-hmm. I wasn't able to have as many people as I want in the building. So I opted to move back to Mize just for the month of December with my Stuff and Things and Stuff, which is a holiday show we do every year. And it's like gift items, small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great. We have just two more days of it for the rest of the year.
It's still going on now.
Yeah.
Well, this is coming out Friday, okay. the 22nd.
Well, I'll be open Saturday.
Okay, Saturday the
23rd. December 23rd from 10 to 2.
There we go. It's 689 MLK.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the future. What's cooking up here in this brain of yours? What are you looking at for 24?
I feel like I'm just going to stay on my path of my work with my mural work, because I feel like I want to take advantage of this time in my life because it's very physical, and I'm starting to feel that as I progress. I've been doing it for 10 years now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, like, long days of brush strokes up and down ladders, so I'm getting work a lot. I'm getting a lot of work. I just got approached to do something in Clearwater Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a mural in off Franklin Street in Tampa for an apartment complex. It's like a large scale mural. So I'm getting work. You know, it comes in. So I have stuff planned out till March. So it just feels good not to have to, like, struggle in that way where you're having to look for work all the time. So it comes to me at this point.
Have you got something planned for the next space?
Not at the moment.
Yeah.
So once I get the green light with the building having full capacity, that's when I'll plan out. So like I said, we're taking a pause now until I get that, because it's a little stressful planning something out in hopes that you could have the attendance that you want.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I don't want to, like, jinx anything at this point, or, you know, I'm taking a pause basically.
Well, I think it's going to happen. It just depends on, you know, not if it happens, but when it happens, you know. And all the best to you holiday wise and all the rest of it, because you're the Christmas weekend interview.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Well, Chad, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. You know, we will look forward to, you know, following your continued adventures in 24. Again, thanks for coming down.
Thank you, Bill.
From stpetecatalyst.com.